This morning we'll be again addressing the book of Joshua. And as we've been journeying through this book of Joshua, we're mindful that the beginning words in chapter 1 were to encourage us to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. Today we're continuing with the parceling out of the land. And as you remember from last week, Pastor Joe talked to us about Caleb and him accepting that allotment of land and then saying, I'm going to take the hill country and take more, and being willing to fight even at his elderly age. Well, today we look at a couple other tribes, those tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim and their allotment of land. God has a message for us in these strange-sounding place names that we read in Joshua. And as you might be like me, when I do my Bible reading, I come across this section in Joshua with the allotment of land, and I stumble quite a bit, and I don't recognize a lot of these names. They're kind of unfamiliar to me. And so with that unfamiliarity, I usually skim quite quickly over all these names that are listed here in this allotment of land. But I think that we have to understand that these books that we're reading in the Old Testament are ancient books, thousands of years old, given to a people at a time that was very precious to them. So as we look at this allotment of land, I must confess that it took me a fair amount of work to suss out a message for us this morning in way of these two chapters, chapter 16 and chapter 17 of Joshua. However, in slowing down, I believe there is a provocative spiritual truth for us in these passages this morning. Immediately, I see how important the land was to these people, these 12 tribes. You have to understand that they had been captive in another land, in Egypt, for 400 years, and then had moved on and wandered in the desert for another 40 years. And they had just about got the gift of the promised land, but then had to back off and then wander for those 40 years. So they almost opened that gift, and then not so, and then here they were again, and then they were actually in the land. I don't know about you, but I have a tough time when it comes to times like birthdays and Christmases, you know, when I get a gift, or I'm giving a gift. I find it very, I'm not a very patient guy. I want to rip into that gift, you know, and I'm excited, but you can imagine 400 years of excitement building and another 40 years of wandering. These guys must have been totally so excited to jump into this allotment of land that they were receiving. Beautifully wrapped bows and colored paper and the songs sung. And wow, you know, we get to get this land. And it must have been a fantastic feeling for them as the lands were parceled out for each tribe. Well, here we go in way of understanding this ownership that they are granted. For 13 chapters, they have fought their way into this allotment of land. They have gained victory over all these different people groups, but not quite. In way of moving all the people out of the land. So you can imagine that in receiving these things, there must have been a little bit of a victory dance, you know, something, you know, that moved them. They were excited in receiving these things. They had obeyed God and fulfilled the mission, taking up ownership of this promised land. Well, let's review a little bit here in way of what the mission was in the beginning part of Joshua chapter 1. So ancient tribes, 12 tribes altogether, had a mission. And God speaks to their leader, Joshua, here in chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading from verse 3 through 6 to get a view of this mission for us. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So there it is. There's the mission statement. And there's also a mission statement for us. As much as Joshua is commissioned here in this mission to take the land as an inheritance for all the people, we also receive an inheritance as ones that believe in Jesus Christ. We also must fight a battle. It's recorded to us here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So we take up not armaments like Joshua's clans were doing, but we take up spiritual armaments. We have been blessed this morning to celebrate communion, reminding us of the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us. Jesus has conquered the land. So then why does Paul in Ephesians here say to us that we have to put on the armament, a spiritual armament? Why is it that we have to now fight a battle, a spiritual battle, against higher powers, spiritual powers in our lives? Well, we've got this mission statement to make devoted followers of Jesus Christ, you know it, who love and live so as to lead all people to God. That's what our theme is. That's what we're about here at Westwood Alliance Church, to make devoted followers of Jesus Christ who love and live so as to lead all people to God. Our fight, again, is not with the weapons of warfare, but Joshua is told here to be strong and courageous, and we also need to be strong and courageous, going to love and to live so as to lead all people to God. That takes strength, that takes courage and boldness in our own hearts and our lives. We don't come by that too naturally. And we are promised, as Joshua is promised, that God will be with us. God is our strength. He has won the battle. Well, there's a failure here in chapter 16 that we find in way of the mission. They know the mission is to go in, remove all the people from the land, and take the land as a possession, an inheritance from God. Well, let's look at chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, first of all. It says there, "The allotment for Joseph began at the Jordan, east of the spring of Jericho, and went up from there through the desert and into the hill country of Bethel. It went on from Bethel," this is Luz, "cross over to the territory of the Arachites in Ashtaroth, descend westward to the territory of the Japhlites, as far as the region of the lower Beth Haran, and on to Gezer, ending in the Mediterranean Sea. So Manasseh and Ephraim, the descendants of Joseph, received their inheritance." And there it is, allotted for them. And it's further described here in verse 5 down to verse 9. And of course, with a lot more place names and borders that are delineated there for us. Well, they are allotted this section of land. And next we find out that all the tribes are given land. And really, in way of importance in tribes, we could say that Judah was the most important tribe. And then following that, Joseph's clan would have been seen as more important, the second in degree. Judah, of course, the ruling tribe of Israel. And then Joseph's clan, because, of course, Joseph had enabled the people to live 400 years in Egypt and had provided for the nation while the rest of the world was in state of famine. Israel was able to be housed in Egypt for those years, and then after Joseph's death for those next 400 years. Well, we understand also that there's a right in way of a firstborn, and that right was for Reuben. So if I can have the next slide here. This is, if you can see that, there's the 12 tribes that are listed there on the bottom, and you can see number one as being Reuben's name. Unfortunately, Reuben had an indiscretion, and the birthright was taken away from him. And the birthright was a double portion, and that double portion went to Joseph and to his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So Manasseh and Ephraim were actually of the next generation, but they were taken up to be fit into the uncles. So they got raised almost a generation and blessed as part of those 12 tribes. So we don't mention Joseph's name so much in these 12 tribes as we mention Ephraim and Manasseh in way of the 12 tribes of Israel. And of course, Levi was the clan, the priestly clan. And so the priestly clan was not allotted a piece of land particularly. They were given cities of refuge, but they were not allotted a given parcel of land like the other 12 tribes were. Okay, the privilege of that double portion to the sons of Joseph was prophesied in Genesis 48 through the father Jacob. This maintains the tribal number at 12. Importance for us in way of understanding the number 12. It figures important in way of biblical symbolism. It's a number of governmental perfection. 12 tribes, 12 apostles, 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem. 12 by 12 is also the number of 144,000, the first fruits in Revelations. The failure regarding the mission is that the Canaanites were allowed to stay in the land. After all this and the people inheriting the land, it says in verse 10 of chapter 16 that they failed to push out the Canaanites from the land. And as we look at verse 10, we read that to you this morning. They did not dislodge the Canaanites living in Gezer. To this day, the Canaanites live among the people of Ephraim, but are required to do forced labor. So there we have it. These Canaanites would have been the cause of trouble in the future generation. As we then look after Joshua comes the book of Judges. And in Judges, we see very much that the people of the land who worshipped other deities became snares and traps for the people of Israel. They would suffer much because of this neglect, really in way of wanting their own convenience of having these people as forced labor for themselves so they wouldn't have to do the menial tasks. They would ask others to do it in way of these Canaanites. We also suffer, I believe, in way of neglect, in way of obedience, failures that we have in our lives, in way of taking up God's mission that He's commissioned us for. There's always a temptation towards idolatry and immorality in our society today. We suffer if we do not do God's will. We receive, of course, maybe some worldly convenience. We might be promoted. We might be having some accolades, some idea that we have been blessed in way of our current situation. But the fallout of that is huge in way of convenience, in way of help. Psalm 1 says at verse 1, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers." Worldliness and sin can seep into the souls due to proximity and negligence on our part. Yet contamination is not an excuse for us not to be engaged with the world, because we're also told in the book of Matthew to be salt and light in our world. So how do we do the both and, be close to the world in way of salt and light, but be not of the world? That's the difficulty. And we see this in the failures of the Israelite people as they allow the Canaanites to live in the land. The result is, in way of their proximity, is they take on the adulterous practices of the Canaanite people. So much so that in the book of Judges, it's just one of these, face-palm kind of things as you look at the book of Judges and just see the rampant sin of the nation because of their involvement with the Canaanite religions. The Canaanites remain in the land, as similar to Christians, I believe, that allow sin to abide in their hearts. The heart of the Christian is conquered by Christ. Christ is enthroned in our hearts, as we sang about this morning. But sin is still allowed to have some place there in our hearts. In this way, the old character still has voice in our lives. We seek to do God's will, yes, but there's a contravening voice that comes in and whispers in our ear. And so we're pulled in two different directions, and then we fall into sin more easily. Or maybe we sit paralyzed, unable to move one direction or the other, not towards good and doing God's will, not towards doing evil. But we sit squarely on the fence and we don't move. We're paralyzed. And so both are not, positive or good. We want to do God's will. We want to fulfill God's mission. But we see the very same accord happening with these Israelites, with the Canaanites there. You know, once you let sin into your life, you start to get comfortable. Hey, the wood is being chopped, the water's being hauled. Hey, take your ease, right? And so it comes to the fault of a divided heart within us. And the Bible says to us that you cannot love both God and manna, that you cannot love both God and money. We get divided and paralyzed in way of sitting on the fence, or we find ourselves falling more easily into sin. Well, the comfort of Easy Street. In Joshua chapter 17, and I'm looking towards the end of the chapter here, we see more so these problems that evolve for the clan of Manasseh. It says at verse 12, "Yet the Manassehites were not able to occupy these towns," and this long list of towns and stuff that precedes it. It says, "For the Canaanites were determined to live in the region." So you have two people groups, and the Canaanites particularly were not willing to budge, right? They were wanting to stay there. And then at verse 13, "However, when Israelites grew stronger, they subjected the Canaanites and forced them to labor, but did not drive them out completely." So that is contravening exactly what Joshua was told to do in chapter 1 is the mission, right? This is the mission, guys. Drive out the people. Take the land for yourselves. But yet, when we think of Easy Street, and I think of the the musical Annie, and how Annie wanted to find her parents. And this young orphan girl was searching for her parents, but there was this evil overlord matron that looked after the orphan girls. And she wanted the money that Annie was being able to accrue through her relationship with a benefactor. So the result was that this lady, this matron, gets into cahoots with a relation, and they decide that they want Easy Street. They want the benefits. They want the money. They want to be able to live comfortably. And so they sing this song, Easy Street. I'm not going to try to sing that song for you here this morning. But the idea is that easy is what we are very prone to as human beings. I'm very interested, you know, when I come to Awana on Friday nights, coming, I always head for the side door at the back, you know, of the church. I never try to walk around. And when people see me coming, knowing often the door is locked on the back of the building, and I come with my keys, there's usually a crowd that comes after me that are trying to get in the back door as well. Why is that? Well, we love easy. We, you know, save ourselves like 5-10 steps around the building is easier than just, you know, scooting in the back door. It's quicker, it's easier. So we naturally have that tendency to look for what is easy and what simplifies our lives, right? But it's not always what God wants. And it certainly wasn't what God commanded these ones in way of the mission. But yet they took it up and said, well, I don't know about Joshua and what he wants us to do, but it's sure nice that these Canaanites are able to do all this manual forced labor for us. So they were probably sitting back and saying to themselves, let's be smart here. We can use these people for our advantage. We don't have to get rid of them like Moses and Joshua want us to. We can use this help to gain some financial leverage and advantage, giving us Easy Street. They decide to go for really second best. God's best was that they push the people out and they take the country for themselves. I feel that God has a grand plan for us as well. It's some of us want to settle for second best because it's easy, it's natural. Now, God will take you to the highest level that you will allow him to. So he wants this for you, but if you say to God, no, God, you know, I want second best, God will still work with us, despite the fact that we have allowed sin in our hearts and our lives. Did you know that? That God doesn't abandon you as a Christian when you say yes to involving yourself in some sin. You haven't cast out all those Canaanites in your heart, in your life. You start taking the comfortable, the easy road because it's easier, right? We want second best. God still works for with us, but the results are that there are consequences when we continue having sin in our lives. Jesus said that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That is, the Holy Spirit will abide within our hearts, and out of us will come abundant life for all people. But yet, when sin abides in our hearts and our lives, I believe that sin is dams up in our hearts that living water that God would provide for others. We become selfish in seeking, yes, let's say it, our own pleasures. Well, at verse 14 and 17 we read, then the people of Joseph said to Joshua, why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are a numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly. If you are so numerous, Joshua answered, and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear yourselves. There is land of the Perizzites and the Raphaites. So it's funny, you know, when we start to get easy street, we start to get comfortable, the results are is that we want more comfort. We want more ease. We become a little proud, a little arrogant. We're the top. You know, as Manasseh, we're sons of Joseph. You remember that guy? Joseph was the guy that enabled us all to live in Egypt, to feed us when we were in famine time. You know, that's the guy. And we are his progeny. Therefore, we should have a bigger chunk of land, Joshua. And Joshua looks at them and says, really? Really? Well, why don't you go and do what you're supposed to do? Clear the land, chop down the trees, build stuff, and get rid of those other people groups there in the land that you were allotted originally. Why should we give you more land when you haven't even looked after the land that you already have, is what he's saying here, really. And the same can be said of us. We want more, and yet we haven't dealt with sin and the thing that contravenes God's work in our lives. Verse 16 goes on and says that the people of Joseph replied, the hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in there have chariots filled with iron. Fitted with iron. Both those in Bethshan and in its settlements, and those in the valley of Jezreel. So out comes the complaint and the excuses why they can't actually take the land for themselves. Hey, it's pretty hilly country. Besides, they're big people. They have those iron chariots. And you can hear the complaining, can't you, in their voices. But if you remember back to Caleb was dealing with just as big a people, yet he was an old man, and he said, give me that land and I will take it for the Lord. They started looking just at themselves. Joshua says, listen, you are a strong, numerous people. I've already blessed you with so much land. And there's a map here that I wanted to show you here of how much land Manasseh and Ephraim actually had. So I circled it there for you. They had a huge chunk of land, and yet they weren't willing to work with the piece of land, the piece of property that they had already been given. So what does that say to us as a church? What does that say to us as an individual? It says that we have to be very concerned about how we live our lives and how we fight the battle that God has blessed us with. We're here in Vancouver, and we're to do our best work in Vancouver. And then we're to take it to our Samaria and to the outermost parts of the world. But if yet we can't do our best work here in Vancouver, then how can we take it further? God has blessed us, given us his kingdom. Yet if we allow sin to reign in our hearts and our lives, we do ourselves a disservice. So, question for us today, are you clear on the mission? What the mission is that God has given us? Are you fearful of what God has for you in that mission? Faith always casts out fear, or fear casts out faith. The two can't coexist together. So if you feel fearful, you won't have faith. But if you have faith, you won't have the fear to go along with it. Thirdly, is Easy Street too much of a hold on you to really engage in the mission? Jesus told the rich young ruler, hey, go and sell all you possess and come follow me. And the rich young ruler said, I can't do that. I have too much. I like Easy Street better. The question is before us as Christians. how we will live our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being here present with us. We thank you for your blessing upon our hearts and on our lives today. We ask that you would use that what you have given to us and that we have given to you in way of our lives to further your kingdom in this place of Vancouver that you've blessed us with. You have given us this place, and we pray that you would help us to use that which you have given to us to further your work, to bless those that are around us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us as we reflected in our communion today. We ask these things in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Please stand with me as you receive the benediction this morning. I read to you from God's Word, from Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. It says there, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen." Please be seated. We have a short clip for you this morning about our Jaffrey offering that's coming up in next Sunday service. So lend your ears to Brem. Brem is our VP of missions, and he's going to tell us a little bit about our Jaffrey project today.
Hello, church, and welcome. The Jaffrey Project is about bringing access to Jesus where few or none have heard to specific people groups. The Global Advance Fund represents the funds that support the fixed costs and necessary services to support well over 200 international workers all over the world. With the Jaffrey Project, we are expanding into new initiatives and taking fresh risks for the sake of the gospel. The Jaffrey Project has brought engagement in prison ministries in Bali. Multiple prisoners have come to faith in Jesus, and they are sharing their faith all across the prison. We are building relationships with Arab entrepreneurs through a consulting business that provides coaching and development to these professionals. Through this, we are making friendships with the very people we want to share the gospel with. The civil war in Yemen has provided tremendous opportunity to bring the gospel to a large diaspora community that has landed in a North African nation. In Mexico City, through contact with some of our international workers, we are in touch with a professional couple who are bringing transformation to urban professionals. Because of your participation in the Jaffrey Project, we are excited about what we are seeing on the ground in Dakar, Senegal. Local men being trained to be leaders. They're wanting training in evangelism. And recently, some of these men were affirmed to be elders in their faith community. There are so many more least reached people groups we are wanting to engage with. Please consider your level of engagement through prayer, support, and giving sacrificially as we make a difference together. Be a part of what the Alliance is doing to make a difference outside of Canada and all around the world. Your participation in Jaffrey enables us to move forward in new places, to new faces, and with fresh initiative. There are now two assembled teams of 9 personnel altogether in Senegal and northern Iraq. There are 22 candidates being prepared and ready to go to least reached peoples all over the world. But they need our support in order to be sent. In Malaysia, the Rohingya people are struggling to rebuild their lives. In the next video, you'll hear how God is opening doors to bring impact amongst this people group who have been treated so horrendously.
So we want to remind you that this next Sunday we'll have a Jaffrey offering. And on our offering envelopes, there isn't a place that we particularly will mark Jaffrey, but if you write Jaffrey on your envelope, that offering will go towards the Jaffrey Project, sending 22 missionaries, or IWs, to these least reached people groups. So just be mindful of that. So next Sunday, this Sunday, maybe write out a check when you get home in way of the Jaffrey Project. Bring that to church on Sunday And we will be passing the offering bags around for collecting that offering towards the Jaffrey Project next Sunday. At this juncture, we're going to welcome up Harvey and just interview him this morning as another nominee to our elders board, remembering that we have three ones that we will elect to our elders board. And there's a nice picture of him and his family up there. So, first of all, Harvey, how long have you been here at Westwood Alliance Church?
I've been here for 21 years now.
21 years.
Mostly in the Cantonese congregation, but we started coming to English multicultural congregation full-time for 4 years now, I would say.
Okay. So what ministries have you been involved with?
youth ministry, I was involved with the Impact Youth. I was involved with children ministry. I was helping out with teaching Sunday school. Lately, I'm more in the background support side of children ministry as I take care of that boy. And then my wife, Loretta, could teach. So, yep, I'm on the background these days.
So I understand that you've also been quite involved with so many other things as well as being an elder here in our church before, weren't you? So you had a term as an elder.
Yes, I've had a term as an elder about 5 years ago.
And that was on the Cantonese side.
Yes. Okay.
What led you to allow your name to stand for eldership this year?
It goes back to where my family situation is. I stopped at going to the Impact Youth for a few months now because my little boy needs me home more because he doesn't sleep well. We've been praying about new ministry to serve in, and God works in amazing ways that we got this invitation I got this ask to be nominated for an elder. So that's where it came from. So I was thinking, originally I was hoping my boy could sleep better and then I can go back to serve in youth ministry. But hey, God works in amazing ways.
Okay. So you took advantage of the opportunity
presented. Mm-hmm.
So as you look to eldership, what kind of things would you be doing in way
of... Yeah, you gave me that question. That's like the hardest question to answer. I don't know. After seeing that question, that term of like being a jar of clay, that comes back to me that but we are just clay of jar. It's for the power of God and it's for the glory of God. Mm. So again, God always have his work beyond our imaginations. So I was hoping that by serving in the elders, I can help out as much as possible to serve in this church. We are just like echo back to what Pastor Joel said last week. I strongly believe that our better days are ahead. Mm. So hopefully God can use us in making the church, spreading his gospel in this community and beyond.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Harvey.
Thank you.
All right, so one more guy. Next week we'll be talking to Gary here, sitting up at the front. So three of our guys are being nominated for eldership. So please look forward to that on the 24th of November for our election. Also, you'll notice there's a few other things happening here. Just want to draw your attention again to the thinking class that'll be upstairs in the library today, as well as number 4, Daisies, for the Female Hygiene Project. So if you want more information, you want to talk to Joanne Ong about that, and they'll be meeting on Saturday morning. Also, our shoe boxes are coming due this next week as well. So please do remember to write $10. We'll be collecting some of them outside. So please bring your shoe boxes in for this next Sunday, the 17th. May God bless you as you go into your week. Please close in prayer and then be dismissed.